My name is Melissa, and I'd like to share my salvation story with you. When I was growing up, my parents took me to church several times a week, and I went to Christian schools. However, our home life was deeply dysfunctional. My father was a very religious man in church, but not at all kind to his family at home. His form of Christianity was always subject to change, depending on his feelings at any given time. He was given to violent mood swings, and his presence was often felt in our home like a terrible oppression. He was physically violent toward both me and my mother, but especially toward me. I grew to hate him with a venomous bitterness. I also suffered from nightmares and continual depression. My mother seemed to truly know God, and she always prayed for me. When I told her how I hated my father, she would tell me that my unforgiveness was destroying me. And she was right. When she told me to submit my life to Jesus, I would tell her, "Jesus is my Savior, but he will never tell me what to do." She would shake her head sadly, but unfortunately she didn't correct my false belief. I now know that you cannot have Jesus as your Savior unless he is also your Master and your Lord. I began to live in fornication with my boyfriend at age 17. I was deeply unhappy and believed that I could make myself happy my own way. I was sure that if my boyfriend would love me more than anything, I would be happy. We married, and the happily ever after quickly faded, and I was left with the ugly realization that I was still unhappy. I had no idea how selfish a person I truly was at this time. All I knew was that I had no peace, and it must be someone else's fault. The funny thing is that when people asked me if I was a Christian, I quickly responded yes. I thought I was a Christian because I had asked Jesus into my heart when I was little. I never read the Bible for myself, so I didn't really understand that God would hold me accountable for my behavior. When marriage failed to fill my emptiness, I thought having babies would do it. After two wonderful children, reality struck again. I came to see that it takes an unselfish person to take care of children. I was lousy at it because they needed all the attention. What about me? Next, I decided that a career would make me happy, so I went to work. I got new friends, and I felt great for a while. My friends all loved me and told me what I wanted to hear. When I complained about marriage or motherhood, my new friends would say, "You deserve better." After a while, under their influence and my own selfish desires, I fell deeper and deeper into sin. I began to engage in many kinds of wickedness, gradually at first. As time went on, my behavior got more and more evil, and I am now deeply ashamed of the things I did then. I sinned against my own family, other people, and God. After I had my third baby, she became seriously ill and nearly died. I realized at this time that I had no relationship with God, and it bothered me some. I wanted God to be there for me if I should need him. In desperation, I prayed for God to heal her, and I promised to reform my life if he did. God did allow my baby to live, but when things got better, I forgot my promise to God and returned to my wickedness. One day, when I was engaged in gross sin, the likes of which the Bible says leads to death, my conscience began to trouble me greatly about what I was doing. I saw a picture in my mind of Jesus watching me and weeping because of what I was doing. In great frustration and under conviction, I left that house abruptly and went home. Suddenly, I was crying out to God in an honest prayer, asking him why my life was such a mess and why I was such a selfish wife and mother. And he answered me that day in my mind and told me that I had to stop doing things my way and let him direct my behavior from now on. I asked him to forgive my sins and promised to start listening to him. I began to read the Bible. I was so hungry to know everything God might say to me in Scripture. I stopped committing the gross sins I had been committing. My depression lifted for the first time, and I felt like a brand new person. God had given me a new heart, and yet something terrible was still to happen. I met a man for whom I felt much compassion because he was a needy alcoholic. I would pray for him and try to witness to him about Jesus, and my motives were good in the beginning. I wanted to lead him to Jesus. In time, however, I was drinking with him, and this eventually led me back to other sins, which I had previously repented of. I could no longer feel the presence of God, and it was terrifying. I cried out to God, but it seemed the heavens were shut up against me. However, a dear Christian brother grew concerned about me and called, and I found myself confessing my sin to him and asking for help. Thank God he knew the answer. He told me to stop sinning and return to Jesus. He said that my sin was separating me from God. I knew when I heard it that it was the truth, and God had sent me a lifeline back to him if I would take it. I repented again of that wickedness, and since that time, I've never gone back. After that relapse into sin, I realized I had to safeguard myself. Studying the Bible for myself made me aware that I could lose my salvation if I fell back into my old lifestyle again. I also became aware that God wants his people to be holy, as he is holy. I knew there was plenty more washing the Lord wanted to do in my life, so I purposely developed a habit of Bible study and prayer and began to flee from all appearance of sin, as the Bible says. Many movies and music CDs went into the trash. The cable got turned off. Old friends left because I was not as much fun to them. My dirty mouth got cleaned up. My wardrobe became more modest. And when I cried out to be delivered from cigarette addiction, God impressed on me to break my cigarettes up and throw them all away. I did it, and I've never smoked since. Thanks be to Jesus, my great deliverer. With God's help, I was also able to completely forgive those who had hurt me in the past, including my father, who I had hated so much. And for the first time, I could see outside myself. I came to see that my bouts of depression had been caused from pure and simple selfishness. I began to put time and effort into being a mother who teaches her children good things and a good wife. My family had a lot of healing to do since I had to reap some of the bad things I had sown, but Jesus has been my rock and much healing has taken place. It's hard to sow good seed while reaping bad crops from your past behavior, but eventually the good seed began to bring forth a good crop. I've had many trials since I've been following Jesus these 8 years. God has tested me time and time again to see if I would stand for the truth that I learned from the Bible. I've lost friends and family members, even a church, in my quest to be faithful to God first. But I know that I need an enduring faith and a faith that is willing to forgo my personal comforts in order to make the truth about God known to others so they too can know the truth and be set free. I know that in the end, God will make up for all the pain when we get to heaven. Like Jesus, for the joy that is set before us, we can and must endure trials on this earth. We get into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.